Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 18 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi, who you can find at Def Mango on Twitter. With me is Estelle Vasudevan, who you can find at Estelle Vasude underscore the number one. And Jared Kimber, who you can find absolutely everywhere. For those of you who are new to Crick Picks, we kind of take one generic cricket topic in this show and draft our top five picks for that category. And we go in a snake-style draft. So, 1-2-3, 3-2-1, that is the order of the picks. And the title for this particular episode is Current Test Openers, Not Retired, People Who Are Still Actively Playing Test Cricket Today and Opening the Batting. And I have first pick. And, you know, we record these episodes in bulk. So, we're doing four today. I'm pretty sure you guys have guessed as much, given we don't change our clothes. And if there was one title that I really wanted first pick for, it was this one, Current Test Opener. So it really kind of fell into place. And my pick is going to be Usman Khawaja. And I mean, I'm a huge fan of Uzi because he's also like such a massive presence in cricket outside the field. You know, he's such an outspoken guy. And he's born in Islamabad. I'm born in Islamabad. So we share that. We both went abroad after that. So there's a lot of crossover between my life and Usman Khawaja's. It's just the test hundreds that isn't a match. And the baggy green, that's what he has over me. But this is someone who has 5,451 runs in 73 test matches at 45.8. That is a very, very healthy average for a test match opener. And just to set the record straight, ever since he's made a comeback into the side and played under Pat Cummins' captaincy, he scored his runs at an average of 51.55 in this era, which is also the pace-playing pandemic versus the wobble seam delivery. So that only goes on to solidify his credentials even more in my eyes. He is a limited batter at times who likes to play square of the wicket when there's not enough bounce. So he'll pull those deliveries. But I also really enjoy Usman Khawaja's straight batted shots. And I feel like he has emerged into one of those senior leaders within that Australian team. And yeah, there's just so much to love about Uzi. He's one of my favorite players in the circuit.
Just before we started recording, I was flicking through TikTok and there was a video that came up, which was just him dancing. And so based on that alone, I think this is a terrible pick. To be fair, his dancing was fine, but okay, that's not the name I thought would go first, but that's okay. I don't want to say any other names because I'm hoping that Estelle plays to type here.
There's only one name that could come over here from Estelle, isn't it?
Yeah, I was going to pick him, but I didn't.
I'm going to put it in. No.
I didn't expect Behram to pick Usman Khawaja at number one, right? Right?
Of course not. I'm with you. That's going to throw you massively.
Yeah, so I'm going with Rohit Sharma as my number
one.
So I know Jared's probably going to pick the person they were expecting me to pick as his number one. And I think it's between those three, right? And
yeah,
Jared, you did a video last week on the best test openers. And I think it's a fair shout between those three. Who is the best at the moment? I think all three of them have their kind of strengths. The reason I'd go with Rohit Sharma, and I expected him to go first in the draft, was because he seems to be the one who has the most impact on wins among those. So Usman Khawaja has been great in the last couple of years since his comeback. But Rohit makes runs in very difficult conditions and he makes runs that really impact the result of a game. So I think he's kind of... I don't know why you didn't pick him.
In my defense, right? Rohit was obviously the other obvious candidate, but in my defense, Khawaja has scored runs all across the globe since his comeback. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not a single venue or country where he's kind of failed. So, I mean, there's that.
Okay.
I think for me, when I looked at it, it's very hard to get a high scoring attacking opener who puts pressure back on you. That's not something that we've seen many of in the history of Test cricket. And whereas, as great as Usman Khawaja has been, it is easier to find that level of sort of defensive opener who does that. His record is still obscene, and I still think that he has a claim to be number one. Obviously, Behram made a mistake, but but I can see why someone would make that call. And I don't think Rohit isn't 100% the number one opener. Like, I think there are ways that you can make a claim for Usman Khawaja as well. But I think the vast majority of people with eyes would probably pick Rohit first, just because he's sexier and he can score quicker and, you know, all those sorts of other things.
I mean, he's definitely sexier, no question over there. And I mean, the numbers are quite similar, right? He's got 4,137 runs in 59 tests. I'm not sure how many of those he's opened in, though. That's research that I forgot to do. But as opener, we've seen him perform overseas, particularly in England, which really bodes well for Rohit Sharma. And it's that attacking brand of opening batting. I think that kind of sets him apart. And if not for Khawaja, like, he's the obvious candidate for me as well. Like, there was no question. There was just those two names right up at the top. And then it's like a bit of daylight. Then the pick that we thought Estelle would go with. And then a little bit more daylight.
There's
and then
no
the
daylight, man. Come on.
I think the more I looked at it, I think Cheyan, who obviously co-wrote that piece, he had the top three in a tier of their own. I think I probably have Khawaja and Rohit in the top tier. And I have then Karuna Ratne on a tier just below that. A lot of his numbers do look very similar to Rohit, but the more you kind of peel them back, there's a lot of runs against just some ordinary teams. I still rate him very, very highly. His numbers don't quite stack up against those other guys at the moment. So he's an automatic number three, Dimuth Karunaratne. There's no issue there. There's no one else even close to these top three. After this top three, it all gets pretty random, if we're going to be honest. You know, like, whichever order you go in from here on in, you're going to piss some people off, but you're also not going to be wrong with your picks just because of how they go. But I'll have him at number three, but he's not, I don't think he's massively away from the other two, but I do think there is a slight gap between
them. I mean, he does average over 41, right? And that's still splendid for a test match opener.
There's no doubt about that.
The biggest issue is, like Jared mentioned, he doesn't have a lot of runs against top opposition. But the flip side of that is he doesn't play them a lot, right? I mean, when do Australia play Afghanistan or Ireland? Where Sri Lanka's had three tests against them in the last year or so. So definitely more opportunities to cash in, but also they don't play top opposition often enough to kind of build a record, right?
Yeah, he also didn't cash in against Pakistan.
Where
Usman Khawaja got some pretty decent wickets to score in Pakistan. So, you know, I've got no problem with him being number three, but yeah, maybe just slightly further back. But maybe in the next, you know, he's going to South Africa and he's playing against Australia in the next, you know, year or so. So we're going to...
England as well.
Maybe, and England, sorry, yeah, England's the other one. We're going to know if he deserves to be in that top three or if he deserves to be number three on his own by the end of that, right? Like, I think that's fair.
Estelle, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but he's expressed his desire of playing over 100 test matches and maybe getting to 10,000 runs, right? If I'm not wrong, he said that.
Yeah, he said that, but Sri Lanka play like 5 tests a year, right?
So he'll be playing when he's 72.
Well, he's got 89 test matches, so one of those things he will achieve.
And another point for him, I think, is the fact that over the last decade or so, he's been among the top two or three test openers, right? So, he's been good, but he doesn't have the runs against or away in difficult conditions.
I think in 2018, I already had him in my top two or three then. So the fact that he's still at that, you know, in that period, whereas Rohit and Usman are more recent, you know, and also he's the traditional opener. The other two have kind of just been parachuted in from the middle order. From here on in, it does get so weird. My number four and my number five are not tested enough, and it could be the sort of thing in a year's time, everyone's like, that's horrendous. So because of that, I'm going to go with the person who I think will at least have a very good record in a year or so's time rather than anything else. I'm going to go Jaiswal.
Yeah, I was going to go Jaiswal as well. Projection, but it makes so much sense, right? Yeah.
It's just, I think, we'll talk about, I'm sure the other player will come up at number five or number six anyway. The thing is, even if his runs don't transfer, he doesn't make any runs in Australia, right? Mm. He's going to make so many runs in India that his record is going to look absolutely incredible. And I think he's good enough to make runs in places like South Africa and Australia and England and New Zealand. Whether he makes them averaging 45 plus or not, we don't know. But it's just, you look at the rest of this list and you're like, well, he just has to be on it. He's just so much better than anyone else. So I'm going to go with him as that particular pick.
I mean, he's got over 1,000 runs in 9 test matches and is averaging just under 70. And the first class record holds up, right? He's averaging 75 in first class cricket as well. So if you take those 9 test matches out, he's done so well outside of those as well. Of course, there is the argument that he might not do well in Senna Nations, and the South Africa tour is a bit of proof of that as well. But
I mean, no one made runs on that tour, though, did they?
Yeah.
You look at Jaiswal, and it's just one of those players who you know will succeed. So even though it's a projection pick, I think it's a solid second pick. I mean, he was going to be my second pick as well. And I'm pretty sure Estelle was going to go for him if she got the opportunity.
Good. Yeah. And I'm happy that we're all in agreement that that's fine.
I think the top four here were kind of more or less, I mean, apart from the order in the top three, kind of decided, right, that Jaiswal would be number four. So I don't think there's much to complain about that one. From here on, expect chaos. I don't know. You guys are going to...
I mean, my next pick is a chaotic one.
But it's Estelle now, isn't it? It's Estelle's name.
Is it? Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah, because you went first. You've got back-to-backs coming up. Estelle's got a cheeky little one. And then your back-to-backs is just going to be when it gets really random.
Yeah. Let's see. Let's see what she goes with.
Okay. So... I'm going to go with Devon Conway.
He
started off with an incredible record, right?
Hmm.
And then it's kind of normalized in the last couple of years. But I think, like we mentioned, it's all this big bunch of random players now for the opening slots. So you've got to pick someone.
Do you know
who's
what it is?
Yeah,
I think it's just question marks, right? Everyone just has various question marks. Yeah. That's all it is from here on in. And so you're like, well, we know Devon Conway can make runs. We know he looked really good. Bowlers have worked him out a little bit, but we kind of trust in Devon Conway to come back from that. And so that's what you're saying, right? Like, I think it's fair. I didn't have him this high. You've got him a bit higher than I had him. And it sounds like a bit higher than Bayram had him.
Yep.
But at the same time, you know, if we'd done this 6 months ago, I might have had him in that spot. Yeah. Right? I might have had him ahead of Jaiswal.
Yeah.
Well, I would have, because Jaiswal hadn't made any runs then, but you know what I mean.
And he would have been your projection pick, but that's gone a bit south.
Anyway, no, I think that's solid.
Yeah. I didn't have him as high, but I don't think I have any issues with that either. And I'm happy that you picked him, because you spared me the person that I was going to pick. And I have him now. This is also very rogue for some people. Many of you won't get it. Many of you will shit on me and tell me that this won't work. But my pick number two is Steve Smith. I know that I know that he just took over as opener, but he's still Steve Smith. A lot of you may know him as the best since Bradman, but we did an entire breakdown of his test career, and he's like an elite first and second innings batter and kind of drops off in the third and fourth innings. But recently, as opener, in the fourth innings, he nearly chased down a total versus the West Indies and won Australia that game, and carried his bat, I believe, for 90-something. So Steve Smith is untested as an opener, but there's a lot of evidence in a podcast that we did on Footmarks which suggests that Steve Smith will crack it as opener. He is one of the most decorated test batters of all time. So I know this is a bit of a shocker, but honestly, it's a better wild card pick than the rest of the people that we have over here, at least in my
eyes. So I had Smith ahead of Conway on my big board, but it's partly like you could easily flip those two around. It's so confusing of which order you go with those players, because it is really, really random. The funny thing is, you've picked a player that so many people are convinced won't be a good opener.
Mm-hmm.
I find it hard to believe he's not going to average 40 opening the batting, which is basically what Dimoth is averaging. And we've got him at third, right? So if that's the case, then, you know, what have you got him at? Sixth pick? That seems fair, right?
Yeah.
I think it'd be interesting to see who your next pick is. I'm not gonna go, but it'd be interesting to see who your next pick is.
Yeah, the only reason I didn't pick him was because between him and Jaiswal's actually made runs, right? But Smith hasn't.
Oh, I would have picked Jaiswal ahead of Smudge.
I don't have a doubt that it's very likely that he will succeed, but I just feel like he doesn't have the numbers right now to go in. He wasn't even in my top 10.
Wow.
Because I just felt he hasn't done anything yet, right? He hasn't played enough yet.
This is brought to you by Cricket 8. They are a new player in the game trying to educate fans on what is really happening in cricket. We have a partnership with them where we host live watch-alongs, do podcasts and write articles. If you want to know what is really happening with our game, visit cricket8.com. It's honestly, he's picked him based on, well, A, thinking he will do well, but also on that one innings. To be fair, that one innings was pretty spectacular. Like Australia weren't in that. They had one batter in that whole innings. And to be able to do that in a fourth innings and almost get your team home, I think is an incredible effort. But it is essentially one innings.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm also kind of owning up to the fact that this is a bit of a rogue pick. But then again, we did an entire podcast on Smith's, the test opener and whether or not it'll work or not. And I, you know, once we ended that podcast, I was convinced that he's going to crack it. And like Jared said, I'd be surprised if he doesn't average 40 as opener. He's not the Steve Smith of old, but he's still pretty damn good, right? And he will find a way to survive and score runs. That's the nature of his batsmanship. So, yeah, I'm still satisfied with him as number two. Number three for me is someone who scored 5,418 runs over the course of 80 test matches. And he's also got an average of nearly 40. He's averaging 39.83. And he plays his home cricket in New Zealand, which makes this all the more interesting because that is generally, you know, it's not Asia. So, or well, Asia outside of India, I guess, because the averages have dropped over there before this series versus England. Now they might come back. Tom Latham is my pick number three. And I think it's as safe as houses, as you can imagine. And
I would not have had him.
You would not have had him at number three? Interesting. There are a few names.
He's averaged 33 in the last 5 years.
But then again, Latham is experienced. He's been around. And I don't know, whenever he's batting, particularly versus spin, I feel comfortable watching his bat, like watching him bat. I don't feel like, oh, he's going to get out now, which is the case for a lot of the openers around the circuit. So I don't know. I was just playing it safe. And for me, Latham was safe.
Yeah, so interesting. So he averages 27 against Australia. He averages 31 against England. He averages 32 against India. He averages 13 against South Africa. Are they not the four best bowling attacks he has to go up against?
Yeah, like, I suppose so.
All of his runs are really... like. So he averages 84 against Zimbabwe, 69 against Sri Lanka, and 65 against Bangladesh. Very good player of spin for a New Zealander. I think that's probably fair to say. But that's most of his runs have come from the attacks that you would prefer to face if you're an opening batter. 2018, as I said before, I think I had him and Dimoth right at the top. Like, you know, with Dean Elgar, I think they're up there. He just hasn't really kicked on. He's, you know, gone anywhere else. So I'm shocked. But as I said before, everyone has a question mark. So... At least with him, you know that he's, what'd you say, was it 5,000 runs?
Yeah, there is bulk runs.
If you factor in, and you already did, the New Zealand part of this, which is the fact that they've never had any openers before, then I think he's done absolutely wonderfully well. But I think if you're comparing him to other players and, you know, currently, I don't know. How do you feel about it, Estelle? Where would you have had him?
Yeah, I had him a bit lower just because you have to list down all the openers now, right, to get the 15 that we need. I had him lower down. I just feel like, again, since you're picking current openers, his recent years' performances have not been that great. Mm-hmm. Having said that, I mean, I might pick worse openers for my draft. So
I mean, we will all pick worse. I just had a look. He's averaged 30 in the last 2 years. So it's 33 in the last three and 30 in the last two. So, yeah, at least he has the runs. When you started that number, I wondered if you might be going with another player who I almost think is a safer bet, even if he doesn't have as good an average. But anyway, you didn't go that way. You went with Tom Latham and you're just going to have to live with it. Yeah. It's Estelle again, isn't it?
Yes, it's Estelle again. Then you have to.
Yeah, I'm going with one of the best bowlers, Ben Duckett.
I'm a bit surprised he didn't go earlier. I'm a bit surprised that he wasn't around that Steve Smith Conway pick.
Yeah, I mean, he's done.
Yeah, I mean, we recently We recently did a pod on Ben Duckett and how he's an elite sweeper and how he's not a natural opener but has cracked it somewhat and is doing better than most English openers have who are not named Alistair Cook in the last 3 decades or so. So, I mean, he has a solid case.
Yeah, I mean, it all comes, like, people are going, any criticism he's going to get is going to be centered around best ball, right? Mm-hmm. And I just think the way he's made it work for himself, like you said, not a natural opener, but he's kind of made it work for himself, right? And you're seeing a few results here and there that are going England's way because of that kind of batting from guys like him. So, yeah, in this draft, I think he's definitely among that top 10.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's averaging 40, right?
Yeah.
After 20 tests.
Exactly.
Factor if you look at him, poor start.
Yeah, and also his poor start and his poor finish, which is both mostly Ashwin just destroying him, right?
Yeah.
I think at the moment, if you are buying that, if you're buying Duckett right now, you're buying him at a bit of a discount because he just failed in a bunch of tests and played one of the stupidest shots anyone's ever seen, right? Whereas actually, I think when he doesn't play Ashwin, I'm not sure teams have quite worked him out yet. I do think they will start to work him out in the next 6 to 12 months. And, you know, that might change things. But if you look at his average and his strike rate, like, he just absolutely has to be on this list. And that's why I'm a little bit surprised he's that far down. But obviously, Bayram hates him, so that's fine. Everyone's got their own.
I'm a fan of Ben Duckett. I just feel like eventually you just bowl short to him enough. He's going to keep playing at it and you'll get him out, right? But then again, lots of credit to Ben Duckett for after that first, you know, 4-test spell, was it? He was averaging like, what, 15, something like that. He's come back and he's been amongst the runs for England. He's been one of the stories of Baz Ball. And particularly on that tour of India, the openers did really well, both him and Crawley. So you got to give that to him.
Yeah. Being that you've just mentioned Crawley, I'm going to go Crawley next, which is, I think anyone who has followed my writings on Crawley will be as surprised as anyone else. But partly this is to do with who is to come, if we're being honest. But also, Crawley has been batting well. You know, I think he's gone up against the two best bowling attacks in the world over recent times, and he's more than held his own. He's done what he needed to do. I think he's still giving away bigger scores. I don't think he has the gear to be able to understand how to consistently make hundreds. I think he can occasionally make 100 when everything's in his favor, but I think he's very good at making between 30 and 70. And because he does that at pace, that still has a big impact on everything else. This might be the highest I ever rate Crawley, but he's earned that. And I think, you know, to be, if you would have said to me a year ago that I was going to have Crawley in my top 10 openers, I would have punched you in the face. Like, there is no way that I would have had. If you would have said he was going to be ahead of Tom Latham, right? And he's on my board ahead of Tom Latham. I would have been like, are you mad? But the truth is that he has worked his way to that. So, I'm going to go Crawley.
Light up a cigar.
Exactly. It does tell you where we're at this
basically.
Time.
And you have another pick, right? You have two in a row?
I do have another pick. And there's no one. There's
buy not, yourself some time.
Don't know how I'm even going to do a fifth. Okay.
Pick the guy you thought I was going to pick. He is kind of safe.
The guy that you were going to pick?
You thought that I was going to pick when I said 5,000 something runs.
No, I don't know. I'm going to go Abdullah Shafiq.
Ah, good one. That's a bit of a projection pick, but I like it.
It is. And I worry about him away from Asia. And you know, I worry about him if they don't have the flattest wickets of all times in Pakistan. But I actually do think he's a very good player. So we're at that point in the list where I don't really know where else to go. And I'm looking at the other names here. And I just feel in the next 2 years, he has as good a chance of making consistent runs opening the batting as anyone else does on the list I've got here. So I'm going to go with him.
I mean, he's got an average of 44.33 in 17 tests. And even if you take out the Pakistan tests, right, he's done exceptionally well in Sri Lanka. He's got a fourth innings 100 in Gaul. And
no issue with him in Asia. I think he's going to make runs there consistently.
Yeah.
I do have real concerns about him traveling, but I have real concerns about everyone left on this list. So, you know, you got to pick your poison. And I do think he's a talented player.
Yeah, I mean, 160-odd in the fourth innings in the Gall Test and then 200 on the recent tour of Sri Lanka. So, yeah, I mean, those are the best two things he's done in cricket thus far and a decent ODI World Cup. I think he is a really, really talented batter. Of course, a developing batter, pretty young. And, you know, who's to say where he'll go? I mean, maybe he does develop into someone who does well overseas. Maybe he completely shits the bed. We'll only find out with time.
Yeah, I think I would have gone with him next as well. Just looks a really promising prospect, like you mentioned. Yep. We don't know how he'll go in faster tracks. But what we saw of him in Pakistan and Sri Lanka, he looked really good.
He looked terrible in Australia and couldn't catch for shit either. But we'll ignore that.
Yeah, he's not in my field.
We have to at this point, right? Okay, so I'm... it's a tough one.
That's how we all feel at this point. Because we are squeezing this to get it to five picks each.
Okay, I'm going to go with Craig Brathwaite. He doesn't have... I mean, he has an okay record, I would say. Not a terrible record, but an okay one. He bats very slowly. I think that's the probably the biggest criticism of him. But he's decent in Australia, average of 35, averaging 38 in England. 35 in the West Indies as well. So, I mean, not a great batter, but I think in that West Indian team, it's hard to find great batters, right? They haven't had that much of a good run over the last decade. And he's kind of, in most cases, been a bit of a lone warrior for them in that batting lineup. So, yeah.
One of those dead batters, right? He could bat all day. And if you're averaging over 34 in that West Indian team and have over 5,500 runs, I think that definitely deserves some praise. And yeah, he could like, he's one of the last attritional opening batters who'll just like stop till, you know, they can. And you think of Dimuth, you think of Dean Elgar, who recently retired. Brathwaite is off that same mold, I'd say.
No, exactly. And I think the other thing that is worth saying with him, he is in career best form. This is the best he's ever batted. I honestly think if it wasn't for his overall, it's a bit like, I think you've probably promoted Latham based on his overall numbers, right?
Yeah.
And I think Brathwaite has probably slipped down here because of his overall numbers. If you do look, I can't remember if it's the last 2 or 3 years, but he has a ridiculous record of actually, he's averaging not far away from 40. I can't remember if it's the last two or
I
last
think
three.
He's 56 in 2023.
Oh, was it that much? Yeah. So,
but it's just three tests. So that's the issue.
That is the other issue. But the other thing I would say with him is, and you could make, a really fair claim here for him to go up the order when it comes to balls per innings. So if you do balls per innings of openers in that time, I think Khawaja's number one. So I'm just quickly doing it. Of the guys who've done a lot. So I think, it's Khawaja, Karunaratne, and then he's about number seven. So he's averaging just over 90 balls per innings. So we know he's not going to score, right? And we know he's going to play that stupid shot to off spinners and get out when he's set anyway. But we know that he is consistently going to take the lacquer off the new ball. And really, you look at this list, and Karunaratne and Lisman Khawaja are the only two other modern openers have been able to do that, right? Yeah. And so, you know, you could, I think, looking at our lists at the moment, I'm just having a look at who we've got. You could certainly make a claim that on current form, he could be ahead of Latham, Crawley, and Shafiq. I think you could make that claim. Mm-hmm. It's just that the others have done other stuff that have probably, you know, the fast scoring of Crawley, the big average of Shafiq, and Latham's being a better player than Brathwaite throughout his entire career so far. That's the thing that plays against him. But after Duckett, I could have easily seen someone else going with him. I love Craig Brathwaite. He's been an absolute warrior for that team. I've said this before, but one day I went and looked up, you know, I like to look up footage of younger players when they're coming through. And like, I found all this footage of him when he was like 15 and 16 and he played the exact same way, right? Mm. Alistair Cook would play some shots, right? Like, do you know what I mean? BJ Watling was a stylish player when they were young. Craig Brathwaite has nudged off his hip, left the ball and defended his entire life. That is his raison d'etre. Right. And I love that, you know, he's fully committed to that bit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, he was definitely going to make this list because we're not particularly spoiled for choice over here. And I think what number did he go on? overall.
Is he the 10th or 11th?
Something like that, right? So that kind of checks out.
11th, yeah, 11th.
Yeah. And current form, yes, but sample size low for current form. So that's the issue. But I mean, I think...
Well in Australia at times, I thought. Like, do you know what I mean? I do think this is absolutely his peak. He had a little period when he was younger, maybe around 23, 24, where he did well. I always thought that at his absolute best, he could average around 40, but hang in a very long time. And that's probably what he's managed to do over the last couple of years.
Yeah. And credit to him. Hope he also continues and we don't lose all of those sorts of openers, right? When we lost Elgar, that's when I kind of felt that oh, are we losing a brand of cricketer over here? And are these the last of those few openers? But I mean, who's to say? Maybe someone turns up. I've got two picks, my final two picks now.
Yes.
All right. My next pick is someone who I think has underachieved as an opener in Test cricket. I think I expected him to do a lot better. And finally, I'm seeing signs now that he is turning into the sort of batter that I expect him to have developed into a while back. Aidan Markram is my next pick for number four. Okay. And, you know, overall in Test cricket, he has, what, 2,398 runs in 37 Test matches. Averages around 36 as well. And this time when I saw him bat versus India in that Test match that South Africa lost, it was one of the finest knocks that I've seen in recent times, right? Counter-attacking against, you know... a runaway train that was India's pace attack in that game. So he seemed like he was batting on a different surface. He's got all the shots in the book, an extremely attractive bat to watch, times the ball crisply, can hit a long ball. And yeah, I mean, I love to watch Aidan Markram bat. I'd pay top dollar to watch him bat. I still feel he can crack Test cricket. And going into this next phase for South Africa, he could be one of their main batters, or at least should be one of their main batters, I believe.
He's one of those guys who looks really good, right, when he bats. But that hasn't necessarily converted to a really good record. I remember, was it Virat Kohli who mentioned maybe around 2018, 19, that Aidan Markram is going to be one of the top, you know, cricketers across the world. So I don't know if he's quite accomplished that, certainly not in the Test arena.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see what he does in the next couple of years because... You know, we've seen him bloom in ODI cricket recently as well.
Yeah.
And it could easily be that he is top six openers in the world, right? Mm-hmm. And it could easily be that he doesn't play Test cricket in 2 years' time. Like, his ceiling is so high, but his floor is so low. And it's hard to know how much he cares about red ball cricket anymore and all that sort of stuff. And obviously, it's hard to know how much South Africa cares about red ball cricket at times. But that innings against India... You could almost have him in the top five on that innings. Like it's, you've got Steve Smith. You could have made a similar argument for Markram. The difference is that with Markram, you don't have the background and you just you're just not as sure. I think that's a solid one. I had him, I don't think he would have made my list, but he was certainly on my long list.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Yeah, it is a bit of a projection pick, but I'm going for the eye test with this one, right? With Smith, I was going with bulk runs on another position. With Latham, I was going with enough runs over a long period of time and a good enough average. And within Markram, I'm going with the sex appeal. That's what I'm going with, basically. that 100 versus India, absolutely fantastic. Anyway, final pick for me. There are a few contenders kind of scraping the floor over here. And... the person that I'm just about to pick, I don't even know if he still plays Test cricket. Like, has he retired? Has he not retired?
I know who your pick is going to be now because I was just quickly Googling it to check myself because I was going to make him as my pick. And I was like, suddenly I was like, oh, shit. I'm not sure if he's actually a current player.
He's definitely not a part of the current Test team. I can tell you that much. But I don't think he's retired. I'm pretty sure when I say that.
He unretired, right? So I think most people in the world will know who we're talking about at the moment.
Yeah,
but the last information we had is he unretired. Having said that, he played one test in 2023 and hasn't played. And I don't even know, that might have even been early in 2023. That was in April. So he has not played a test match in, what, a year?
Yeah, and his body has kind of given up on him as well. He's frequently injured, has these back issues. But yeah, you know what? Tamim Iqbal has 5,134 runs in 70 test matches, which is a phenomenal record. I mean, his average is also almost 39. I remember his stunt at Lord's. Very, very memorable moment for whoever follows Bangladesh cricket. And he's been one of their, you know, flag bearers, really, or torch bearers, alongside Shakib and Mushfiqur Rahim. In fact, I would say that overall, Bangladesh's two best ever cricketers in the history are Shakib and Tamim. So if he's still around and hasn't retired, he is eligible for this draft. And that's why Tamim Iqbal is my final pick.
I was at the 100 at Lord's as a fan. It was I just moved over to the UK to start my career, and
whatever and you do today,
whatever my job is now, it was probably one of the last times that I bought a ticket and went to a cricket ground, and it was Tamim at Lord's, and it was just, you know, I was there with my wife. We were just so excited to see him smashing the ball everywhere. It was such a brilliant innings. From there to now, has not probably been where we all hoped this would end. You know, that series was so amazing. I think he made another 100 at Headingley as well, or Old Trafford, or wherever the other test match was. But he's still a fantastic player. And I think if you look at his last 3 years or so, he's barely played. But from 15 innings, he's still averaged 45, right? Like, so yeah. When he has been out in the middle, he has still made runs, you know, at sort of roughly the level he's always done. It's just, is he playing? Is he not playing? Did we put him on this list? And I think that's, he could probably be, what, higher than Markram or Abdullah, I think, having a look at this. But it's, just it's all the other stuff. And if he played 25 test matches and we knew he was still available, is he fourth? Is he fifth? He's really, really high, I would have thought, on this list. It's just the fact that no one has any idea what the current state of Tamim Iqbal is.
Yeah, I just got a call from Bangladesh's prime minister to include him in my list prior to this podcast. Anyway, you guys are absolutely screwed now. I'm lucky I had first pick and I'm done for the day. So go ahead. Who is next, Estelle?
My last one. I don't know who to pick. I mean, I have two guys in mind.
That is the correct answer.
One guy's been bad. The other one...
Jack Leach. Didn't he make runs against Ireland? I wasn't even within the last 3 or 4 years, but...
I would laugh my ass off if one of you guys pick Rory Burns. I'm going to leave.
But he's got great hair.
Yeah, he does. Didn't make our hairstyle podcast either.
Yeah,
so
he was in my long list of hairstyles. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, so I don't know whether I should pick someone who has kind of a bad record everywhere other than home, or a guy who doesn't. He's probably not going to play a lot of tests. Let me go with Imam Mulhaq. I mean, I know.
Estelle, outside of Rawalpindi.
Oh, what did I just do?
I don't know what Jared has done to the video over here.
Sorry, bro.
Outside of Rawalpindi, Imam Ul Haq averages 29 as test match over.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his record.
I still don't think that disqualifies him from being the 14th best opener in test cricket, though. At least he has a wicket he makes runs on.
Yeah. So he's got average of 16 in Australia, 18 in England. 62 in Pakistan, 24 in South Africa, and 29 in Sri Lanka. So, I mean, not much to talk about. The other guy who I was thinking about is Zadran, but obviously he doesn't play that many tests, right? With Afghanistan not getting opportunities.
There's nothing you can do here. Like, I had him on my list. And he was probably next on my list as well. I'm not sure I would have gone him, but he was very, very close. But yeah, so if you've done that, you can only imagine what I'm left with, right?
I have two names over here on my list remaining, and you're going to have to go with one of those two guys.
You say that.
One of them is the son of a legend.
Yeah, that's who I'm going with. I'm going with Tej Narayan Chandrapal. I was really impressed with the way he started his career. He's not going to average 40 in test cricket. Maybe when he gets to his peak years, he can average around 37 to 39 for a couple of years. And, you know, I don't know how old he is. He's a little bit older than we think, isn't he? He's 27 now. So hopefully between the ages of 29 and 32, we could see something from him where he, you know, he steps up a little bit. And so that's the period he's about to come into. So I'm hoping that's what we get. We get a little bit of bump from him over the next couple of years. But I love the way he played against Australia. He's clearly talented. He just doesn't have many options. And he's also burdened with that last name. And he was a bit, weirdly enough, he started when he was like 12 in first-class cricket. But he was a bit of a late bloomer of when he really got good. And I actually like that because so many young West Indian batters are thrown in when they've got like averages 23 in first class cricket, and they waited on him a little bit longer. And I'm hoping that means that they get a few extra years out of him where, you know, he does well and he can do the job. It's probably the worst opening partnership in world cricket in terms of watching. it's dour. It's slow. But I think he is on the list. So I'm flabbergasted that you found another name that we have not yet mentioned. Who's the next name?
My next name was going to be Shubman Gill, even though he doesn't open anymore. He's got 874 runs in 29 innings at 32.37.
There's a few guys. Was it Tirumane opened for a while and made some runs? There's Shubman Gill. Abid Ali, I think, has some runs opening the batting. But I'm like, none of these guys are openers. Like, they're not opening anymore. It really is. It's incredibly dire. I'm trying to have a look at if there's anyone else. Obviously, Elgar's retired. KL Rahul was on my list.
Yeah,
Warner retired.
Warner's retired.
And Elgar retired. So that
I think if
really
those two were there, then we would have had like 5-6 good openers, right?
You could have at least put them on.
This but was both, fun.
It was I like more how... fun than it was horrible.
Yes. Remember the Test Spinners episode? It's very similar to that one where towards the end of it, there are no people left. And that's exactly what happened today. And that's why I was so happy with first pick. I was like, I'm not going to be one of those people who's going to be left with junk at the end.
Yeah. So the only player I had left on my list that I didn't use was Agarwal. But again, how can you call him a current opener? He's not in the team and he's not going to open, right? Yeah. And so, you know, I promise you, I spent way more time than I feel comfortable with looking into. Is it Sean Irwin? Is that his name? What's the South African?
Cyril something. Cyril, I don't even know how you say it. Yeah.
I don't know how you pronounce it. Yeah.
I didn't even know his name. Right. and I spent more than the other one was what's his name? Alex Lees. Where I was like, Cyril Irwin. That's him. Yeah. So I spent a lot of time trying to work out if I could like force him into the list. And then Alex Lees would be like, but in some ways Alex Lees was a success. And then I'm like, but in many ways he was not a success. Elgar and Warner.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just going to ask you guys a question. Just straight away. Estelle, where would you have put Elgar in this list?
Elgar would have been 4 for me.
So I'm not sure he deserved to be 4. Okay. Bayram, where would you have put Warner in this list?
Warner would have overtaken Latham just because of the home record.
Yeah. So, I mean, realistically, so Warner in the last 3 years averaged 33 and Elgar averaged 33 as well. So, like, you know, maybe because of their entire career records, you still have them in, you know, at number 4, number 5, number 6. But It's not like those guys retired and they were number 1 and number 2 because they'd already started to drop off as well. Like even if we had them, all that really meant was that Imam Al-Haq and Chandrapal wouldn't have made the list. That's all it means. We still would have been having the same conversation about Tamim Iqbal, the same conversations about Brathwaite and Markram and Shafiq. Like it's ridiculous.
One guy he won't make the list, obviously, because he doesn't open. But Pathum Nisanka, I think Test cricket is missing out on a guy who could have been one of Sri Lanka's best batters. Because his record in first-class cricket is what got him into the Sri Lankan side. And then they kind of stuck him as opener in limited overs cricket. And he made it work for so long. He kind of was there and thereabouts. And now he's kind of peaking there as well. But I've watched him play Test cricket and, you know, red ball cricket. He's a different beast. He's like a guy, you know, you some players you watch and you know they're made to play that format, right? But I don't think he will feature for Sri Lanka's red ball team that often because he's got a few injury issues and they really do need him in the limited overs game now.
Yeah, he's upped his strike rate a lot. But you know what? Pathum Nisanka is 26 in May. I was just checking that. And he's approaching his peak years. So he's also kind of developing, at least in terms of like upping his strike rate in limited overs. And I'm sure that comes with a vast array of, you know, strokes as well. It's not like he's scoring the same strokes. He's probably finding new ways to score. So maybe he has this rebirth in Test cricket. And if we're doing the same podcast in 5 years' time, he's in our top 10. Who knows?
Yeah. No, I think that's a, it's a really interesting one. I actually looked him up because he had opened and didn't have the shittest record. And I was like, I can't push this in. All right, let's have a look at our list. So Estelle went Rohit Sharma, Devon Conway, Ben Duckett, Craig Brathwaite, Imaan Al-Haq. Top four there are pretty solid. I mean, there's not much you can do with the number five, but the top four is pretty solid. Bayram went Usman Khawaja, Steve Smith, Tom Latham, Aidan Markram, Tammy McBall. The Smith one is going to annoy some people. And Tammy McBall, you might get a boost because you've got a player who has made runs opening the batting at your number five position. And then I've got Dimuth Gunaratne, Yashasvi Jaiswal, Zach Crawley, Abdullah Shafiq, and Tejinarayan Chandrapal. If I win this one, I mean, it would have to be Jaiswal and Crawley fanboys because I just cannot believe that anyone else is giving me this one. And I don't think I picked wrong, by the way. It's just, these are how the cards fell for me. I was in the wrong part of the draft and I had to do the third and fourth pick, which was already tricky. Well, the fourth pick was, and then I had the 15th pick, which is like I could have left it blank and it might not have made my list any better or any worse. Anyway, tell us where you would have gone. Tell us where Bayram went wrong and we'll talk to you next time, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really curious to see who wins this one because of what those lists look like. But yeah, if you like this episode, give us a like, share it with your friends and subscribe to both this channel and Jair's other channel on YouTube. We'll be back with another episode of Crick Picks next week. That's all for today. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bayram Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recording. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make any content, Minbo Pro is the tool for you. Take your long format content and cut it and slice it for social media. This AI-inspired weapon will turn your one piece of work into so many clips. Try Minbo.pro now.